Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
Missionaries, well, I can't go to Africa. Yeah, but you can send money. You can send something. So anyways, we was out doing that. Brother Marty Collins said he wasn't feeling good. He asked me if I could preach. I said, well, absolutely, brother. We'll give it a shot. I'll get up and give what I got. And Brother Chase, good to see you, brother. I honor you. I honor who you are. You honor people when they come. Absolutely. That's what you do. You honor people. Good to have you here. Brought his babies with him. I got my baby over there. He ain't no baby no more, though. I love my son. He's my friend. We play video games together. I play with him because if I played against him, he'd stomp me. So we play together. That's wisdom, you know. Right. So see, he's never really beat me, you know. Of course, we've never played against each other. We're both pretty competitive. He also loves Jesus. He's always up for any of my shenanigans that I want to go do. I was thinking this morning, as everybody's been talking, the Lord had been dealing with me about our heart position. And you know, I went to Brother Trey's house yesterday, was helping him do some things, and had mom in the car with me. And actually, I went to their house. You know, we went there the other day, and I was on the other side, so I guess I thought my directional abilities was pretty good, but it actually wasn't. So I went to the wrong door, knocked on the door, and I said, hey. And she said, hey, who are you? I said, I got the wrong house. So you know what I done? I went to the next house, knocked on the door. Then somebody else come to the door. Yeah, we ain't them people either. And so anyways, got to Trey and Hannah's apartment there and was talking to them about something. And turned to walk away from my car, and this guy come out with a can of beer in his hand. Baggy pants. Looked like a thug, we just say. Yes, probably was. He says, hey, man. Can you give me a ride up the road? Sure, buddy. Come on, let's go. Come around the corner. I got mama with me. She's sitting in the front seat. Sits down in the back seat. As he's sitting down, he realizes he left his phone and cussed us 4 or 5 times. I probably wouldn't have let him bring his beer in the car. You know, he was respectful. He left his beer in the house. But he smelled like it when he got in the car. And his name was Laquan. Name was Laquan. It's an awesome name. I thought it was an interesting name. So he sits in the car and we're riding down the road. And we don't go but just a little ways up the road. Okay? And he says, he's talking. He said, yeah, I can't drive no more. Got in some trouble. I ain't going to get out there and get a license and get pulled over and not have my license and get in trouble. He said, you know, I got in some trouble, but I'm trying to do better. And we ain't said nothing. It's amazing how your atmosphere changes things. You can either be mean, or you can be Jesus. You can have this mentality, I'm better than everybody else. Or you can be kind. We're going up the road. He's almost at the point of rededication, and we've never said a word because somebody was nice to him. And he got in the vehicle and was out of pocket, what we would think was out of pocket. He started up the road. I said, yeah, I know Trey, and I'm one of the ministers at the church where Trey and Hannah goes, and we just up here. And I said, where you need to go? He said, well, I just need to go right up the road there. And so he's talking, and I run over the speed bump. You know, there's a speed bump there on Byler Road. I'm just letting y'all know there is one there. If you go down through there too fast, you will find it. And Mama's like hitting the brakes, you know, on her side, you know. And so he thought that was really funny. He laughed along with us on that. And so I said, well, I guess that's what it was for, was stopping. But his name was Laquan. And you know what? Laquan needs Jesus. Just like I need Jesus. And it wasn't a big thing. It was 5 minutes. But you know what? This whole weekend, I've been rushed. Friday, we decided to load up all them chips, and we went to Rosa Sharon, and then we went to Russellville, to the Dream Center, and then we went up here to Moulton Dream Center, and then we went to Town Creek, Lawrence County Dream Center, four different places. And we started at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was 6 before I ever really got settled and sit down. And then I get the call, oh, you got to preach. Okie dokie. So then Saturday, I got to go do pull-ups. And then I've got something that I'm going to be doing with Hannah and Trey. And then, oh, by the way, I've got to go with somebody to look at a car. And you know, I didn't have 5 minutes, but I did. I had 5 minutes because that 5 minutes might have been his eternity. And he needed somebody to be Jesus. 5 minutes. Would you want somebody to give 5 minutes to your baby? That was on drugs, that was hurt, that was messed up. Somebody to reach out to yours that's away from the Lord, and they see them and they don't shun them because they're not in church anymore. Well, a lot of people are in church, but not in church. And we got to learn to do the little things right. And so this morning, the title of my message is Just Do It. Now, you ought to know when I come to church on Sunday morning in a T-shirt, something was up. Because I just don't really do that. Actually, what I planned on wearing this morning, I got these really nice boots in the mountains. I'm telling you, they got a deal in the mountains. If you got a little bit of cash that you can throw toward it, you can buy one pair of boots and get two for free. Man, I'm all about a deal. So me and Jeremiah got three pair of boots because I see our size is about right. You know what's really great is when your son gets to the size that he can wear your clothes and you can wear his. That's really awesome. And so we can wear the same shoes too. So we got three pair of boots for the price of one. Now, that price was pretty, it wasn't like $15. But these are really, really nice boots. So I said, I'm going to wear these boots in the morning. I had my shirt planned and my corduroy pants. Man, I was going to come in here like this today. I was playing, but I really hadn't intended on wearing that. And then the Lord started dealing with me about just do it. So we're going to go to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and we're going to talk about a fella named, almost got tongue-tied, Naaman. Now, we've all heard this story. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard the story of Naaman the leper. And I've been reading through this story the last couple of days, and the Lord's really been dealing with me about a few things. And so sort of want to paint a picture of who Naaman is. All right, we'll start in the first verse, and we're probably going to go down a pretty good ways. And so I'm just going to read, and then we'll see where we end up. The king of Aram had great admiration. Oh, this is going really good. I got past three words. for Naaman, the commander, sometimes my teeth don't act right, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. So, as a king, he's got a right-hand guy named Naaman. And the king has a lot of respect for Naaman because he's such a warrior. And I expect where even though Naaman had leprosy, he was kind of one of the top dog guys around. He was one of the big men in the area because of the fact he was a great warrior. And it says that he won great victories. The Lord had allowed him to win great victories. All right, and it says, and at this time the Arameans, what would the actual pronunciation of that be? The raiders. I want to make sure I say it right. Arameans. Thank you. The raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." Okay, so we have a king. King that has, Naaman has brought in these slaves, and then he has leprosy. So the young girl who is from Israel knows of Elisha, who's the prophet who does miracles. So she says, well, if he could just get to this prophet, he'd be healed. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." So the king didn't even get the memo. It wasn't the king of Israel that was going to heal him. It was Elisha. But the king wanted to deal with the king. He didn't respect. He wasn't listening. So when the king of Israel read the letter, he freaked out. That's not what the Bible says, but that's what happened. He tore his clothes in dismay and said, "This man sends me a leper to heal. Am I a god that I can give life and take it away? I can see that he is just trying to pick a fight with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him: "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message: "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy." So this great man rolls up at his house. He's got these gifts he's going to give. He's got his chariots. He's probably got his soldiers with him. He's making this grand entrance because he's a big deal. And he's expecting the prophet to do something big. Have we ever been in a place in our lives where we needed God to do something and we expected him to do something really big? Like we had a situation going on and we expected God to just wave his hand. Well, that's what Naaman expected. And he said, "But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. I expect him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and Abana and Farfar. That's Farfar. Better than any of the rivers in, that is Farfar. Better than any of the rivers of Israel. Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in rage. Naaman was a great man. And you know what else? Naaman thought he was a great man. Naaman wanted a miracle, but Naaman had an issue with pride. He felt like because of who he was, God should do it a certain way. Because surely he would understand that he don't need to go wash in no dirty river because of who he was. I mean, he had leprosy. I mean, it would seem to me any way you could get rid of the stuff, you'd want it to go. But he had an issue. Laddy, laddy, laddy. Praise the Lord. I said, that's the speaking in tongues back there. Praise the Lord. That's baby tongues. So the thing is there was no reason for him to be so offended. But he had an issue with pride. And have you ever come to the Lord and said, Lord, I need you to move in this. I've got this issue I need you to deal with. And he says, okay, do this simple thing. A lot of times it's the simple things that we don't do that keeps things from happening in our lives. It's simple stuff. It's the easy stuff. It's not, sometimes we. It's like, I want to worship. I want to worship. I want to be on the worship team. I want to dance. But you don't ever pray. And you don't ever do the things that are necessary. It's. Are you mean to your waitress? Do you even know what the waitress's name was at your last restaurant? We went to Texas Roadhouse last night. Excellent place to eat, may I add. Praise the Lord. It should have been called Alabama. No, Texas. I guess Texas Roadhouse probably works. But, I mean, it's a really good place to eat. So we go in there, and it's Saturday night, and you know the place is zonked. I mean, packed out. We wait 25, 30 minutes to get in. We go, and we sit down, and the waitress sits down there. Everybody knows I love Pepsi. A lot. You know, praise the Lord. Yeah, Pepsi. It's from the Lord. All right. And so what happened is the waitress comes up. Her name is Emily. See, I remember her name. She come up and she says, would y'all like, they say something about, would y'all like lemonade, some kind of lemonade or something? You know, I'm gonna drink Pepsi, you know? And she said something, and I said, I want Pepsi. She says, we don't have Pepsi. We have Coke. I'm sorry. I'm a fast runner. If I need to, I'll run across the road and get you a Pepsi. She said, but it would have to mean I'd get a little bit more tip. I said, ma'am, I said, we're going to tip you anyways. You know why we tip? Because we're Christians. And it's the right thing to do. It's the little things. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Jeff. It's the little things that you do. And so what happened is, so she comes back. And comes by two or three times. I mean, excellent, excellent waitress. All right? The food comes out. Me and Jeremiah are specific about how we want our hamburger steaks fixed. Specific. I'm going to scrape them up because medium, medium well, because my teeth, I have really great teeth up top because they're false. And then I ain't got but a few down here. And so I have to get stuff that I can chew really well. So what happened was, mine come out right. Jeremiah's come out like charcoal. And when she brought it out, she set it down. She said, listen, that ain't cooked the way you said cook it. So if you don't like it, I will take it back. That's what she said. And Jeremiah said, well, I'm going to try to eat it. And he tried to eat, couldn't eat it. So he sent it back. Okay? And so, anyway, she was like, no. I'm picky about my food, too. Don't be bringing food out here that ain't that I can't eat. She said, I understand. All right. So anyways, so she come back out. Best, Jeremiah, best steak you've ever had. The head kitchen cook brought the steak out. I've never seen that. Set it down and said, try and make sure it's right, brother. He's a big, big, thick guy, Jeremiah. Said, I was going to say it was good either way. You know? But I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, give her this. Now, I'm going to tell y'all what I give her, because it ain't none of your business, but it was a good tip. And because I don't know where Emily is. Emily may be a mom that don't have no assistance anymore. I don't know what her circumstances are. But do the little things, and I'm going to talk about naming in a minute, but do the little things. And so we give her what the Lord said, give her. She said, I can't take this. I said, yes, ma'am, you can. Because the Lord said for me to give it to you. And she said, well, thank you. I've never had anybody do this. I wonder how many Christians has she waited on? She's in the Texas Roadhouse. Everybody going, a lot of folks going to go out to eat after we leave here, right? Most folks do. And get frustrated when you can't get in the restaurant at a certain time. Or if it takes a little while to get your food, when them people are working on Sunday. I go eat at the restaurant too. I'm not shaming you. Don't take that wrong. I like to go eat. But be considerate. So this is what I wanted to say. There was all kinds of things that Naaman would have been willing to do. Naaman would have went and killed 10, would have took his soldiers and went and took over a city, if that's what Elisha would have said. He brought all this gold and stuff he was willing to pay. He thought what he had would bring his miracle. The miracle wasn't in what he had. It was in his obedience. Sometimes it's just about being obedient. Can you just do what God says? Just do what he says. Just one time. And see what happens. Well, I'm naming. I'm not going to socialize with them not spiritual Baptists. Or I'm not going to socialize with them other people that aren't as spiritual as I am. Because I'm a warrior. Yeah. But every one of them battles, God allowed him to win. And everything that you've ever accomplished for the Lord wasn't you. It was him. It was always him. And the fact of the matter is I have been naming. And if we're honest, a lot of us have been naming. Clean the bathroom? Do you not know who I am? Well, I'm not doing nothing much. I remember when I come here the first day, I was standing in there. It wasn't the first day, but it was the first day that we was thinking about coming, staying. Miss Carla was in there. Sister Angela was in there. And I told Miss Angela, I said, I need a home. I said, I'll play bass guitar. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I need a home. And if I'm not careful, I get frustrated because all I do is play bass guitar. I know. But you hear things in your head that doesn't line up with what the Word of God says over you. And what you do is valuable. But I said, I'll do whatever. I'll play bass guitar. I got 27 years experience in youth ministry. I've led worship teams. I've been assistant pastor. I've did this and I did that. And none of it was me. It was all him. But if we're not careful, we develop pride. Because it's hard to do the little things when we're focused on the big things. We want to save 1,000 people, but we can't even be nice to our neighbor because something got in our yard. And I'm completely at peace about where I'm at and what I'm doing here. But I'm just saying these are the things that we hear sometimes. And you have to squash them things. So he goes. Now it's you know what? Sometimes God puts good people around you that can talk sense to you. Have you ever been triggered? I'll say triggered. Have you ever been upset? And you know when you're upset, your brain don't work? Some people, I'm not going to say that. Stay away from that one. Jeff will come out for just a second. When you're upset, they say when something has caused you to be upset and all you're hearing is your emotions and your feelings, you can't think straight. You never make a decision when you're emotional because it's not going to be spiritual. It's going to be emotional. And so Naaman was offended. Stalked away. But then down in the 13th verse, it says, but his officers tried to reason with him. You ever try to reason with somebody that was upset? You know, it's just like poking a bear, you know. But what happened is he calmed down enough where he could think. You know what? If you're ever upset and you're saying stupid stuff, shut your mouth. Calm down to where you can think. Because if you'll think about it for a minute, everybody doesn't see things your way. Other people may have a different opinion. And so you have to be willing to at least listen to someone else's opinion. And so in this situation, that's free. And so in this situation, he said, but the officers tried to reason with him and said, but sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he simply says, go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed, and his skin became healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. He was a warrior. I believe that his skin was even better than it was before. So I'm not going to read the rest of the story. But you know, you can have a move of God in your life and then not change who you are. You can have, God can move in your life and it be strong and it be powerful, but you still have pride because it's not about you. And it's these things that have to be uprooted. Listen to this. Naaman is in the 15th verse says, then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel, so please accept my gift from your servant. In his mind, he still thought he could pay for what God done. And you think you can work enough to get God's favor? You think you can do enough to get worthy to be his? He don't keep score. We keep score. When I play games, I've been working on this, I promise you. I don't play for fun. I play to win. Now, I promise you that's not the best attitude. But I told you I'm working on it. I'm not perfected yet. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your encouragement. But he don't keep score. Because he's already won. It's not. Moulton Dream Center fed 900 people Saturday. 900 people. That is awesome. And you know, it don't bother me that we didn't do it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take more chips down there because you know what? I want part of that blessing. I want part of that blessing. I don't do it for blessing. I do it because it's my heart. But I'm investing. Everything you invest in, you receive blessing from it. If I invest in, we pick it, John, Renee's son. We pick it John all the time. You know what he does when he comes to my house? Eats. That's all he does. Yeah, he just comes to the house and he'll come around lunchtime, around supper time. You know, it's like he's got a sense of smell or something. He can or just this thought. You know, he just and Jeremiah said, "Well, John's coming over to hang out." I said, "Mama, get the chicken fingers and French fries ready." But you know what? I'll feed him every time he comes, because I'm investing in his life, and he don't have a daddy. He don't have nobody in his life. And you know what? Your food sometimes, when it comes to young people, makes a difference. You know why we go out on our bread route? Thank God it's not a bread route. When we go out on our chip route now and we mama hands out banana bread to these people in these stores, it's because we are investing in people. Are we going to sell it down the road? Sometimes, yes. But are you investing? So these officers, they say, listen, man, just do it. Have you ever had somebody come to you? You know what you need to do? You need to surround yourself with good people that'll come to you and say, listen, don't be stupid. Just do it. Or don't do it. You know, or don't do it. All right. So what I was saying about Naaman, he comes down here. He's still trying to pay for this. And you don't have to pay for something that's already yours. It's already been bought. Your freedom, your salvation, all your stuff's already been bought. Why do we want to make it so complicated? I used to have this mentality. I may not be smarter than you in ministry. I may not be smarter than you. I may not be in all the things, but I'll outwork you. And you know what I've done? I worked myself to the point of burnout because I was trying to do it in my own strength. And you can't do it that way. I'm trying to learn how to do my assignment. And whatever my assignment is, if it's preaching when Brother Marty's not feeling good, I'm okay with that. If it's playing the bass, I'm good with that. It's easy. Why can we not do the things that are easy? It's easy for me to play a bass guitar. I've been playing since I was 10 years old. Why don't we want to do the stuff that's easy? When someone asks us to do something that's easy for you, do it. Well, it don't require, well, do it. My mom goes on the chip route with me. She's a hard-working woman. She's not real fast anymore, moving around. She knows that. She knows that. Oh, she's so valuable, though. Because she keeps me calm. And then I keep her calm. If somebody don't treat me right, then I keep her calm. Mom is okay. But mom is 5 foot something. Okay. And so she can't reach the top shelves. So I don't stand over there and say, well, mama, just stretch. Just reach them. Come on. No, I know what she's able to do. So you know what? I want her to work the shelves that she can reach. You know why? Because we're a team. And then I get down and do the knee stuff because she can't get down on her knees. Get down on her knees, she might not get up. But while she's been on the chip route, she's lost almost 50 pounds. And you know what it's from? Exercising and walking. And you know what? I could run the chip route without my mama. I'm not that big of a mama's boy. I am, but I'm not. But it's been good for her to walk and to spend that time with me. And everything that you do in your life ain't about you. Everything that happens ain't about what you need. It ain't about what you want. Sometimes you just do something just because it's good for someone else. Man, I can't stay on naming this morning. I'm trying. But you know what? Those folks on my route, if mama don't go on the route with me, you know what they say? Where's your mama at today? Like I done something to her. Now, where's your mama at today? Hey, well, I'm here. Well, we know you here, but where's your mama at? Because she smiles and she ministers by being mama. And somebody said, well, how valuable is that? If you ain't got a mama, it's really valuable. I'm not going to keep dragging. I want people to come here because they feel the love of Jesus. But we may have some Laquans show up. Hopefully. And when they come, they may not smell real good. He didn't smell real good, I'll be honest. But he needs Jesus. And how come sometimes we feel like we're supposed to clean the outside before God gets a hold of the inside? I used to have a youth group. Oh, my goodness. We went to a church, and there'd be no way I'd ever say the name of the church because it's not about that. I went into that church. I had a youth group. I had two pregnant girls. And there was teenage pregnancies. I had two that was dressed gothic, one with a mohawk about the size of something another, one that was going through a divorce, and we walked in the door. These kids loved Jesus. They'd pray for you in a minute, but when we walked in the door and they sit down, I felt religion in the room because they didn't look the part. You better be careful about looking at something and thinking, they can't do because of the way they look. I'll tell you what happened. I'm fixing to close. When we went over to Miss Angela's house the other day to eat, you know, and play laser tag and all that kind of stuff, we had a football game. And so we had the two younger boys pick teams. And they looked at the 50-year-old, gray-faced, old guy like he couldn't play football. So I ended up getting picked last. Three or four touchdowns and a couple interceptions later, they realized I could play. You know what the problem was? They looked at the appearance, and they thought, because of my age, that I couldn't play. But you know what they should have thought about? I got a son right over here that's very athletic. And if he's athletic, there's probably a reason for it, because his dad was athletic. There are a lot of people that are going to come that are not going to look the part. And it's not about that. Can we do the little things? Can we do the little things? Can you love the ones? When they come in the door, they need to feel welcome. Because most people decide if they're ever coming back in 10 minutes. I have. I've been in church my whole life. We went, me and my son and my mom went a lot of churches. And we come in, and the people didn't know us. Some of them didn't have bass guitar players. Some didn't have youth pastors. Some didn't have a lot of things. They didn't know who we was. But they never come up and ask no questions either. We do that well here. We do that well here. But when more people come, pay attention. Can we do the little things? Miss Angela, at the last leadership meeting, challenged us to dream. And see, I'm a dreamer, but I've been through some things. So it's been a little harder for me to dream. And it's just absolute fear. You know, fear of failure. And somebody said, what if I do something and I make a mistake? Well, if you don't ever do anything, you're not ever going to make anything. You're not even going to make a mistake. You can't make anything sitting still not doing anything. So I've been thinking, and I've been dreaming, and I ain't got it all figured out. But you know what? I'm just going to do it. I don't see the little one. There she is right there. Blessing. It's a blessing. See a need, feel a need. It's a blessing. That investment, it does something. It does something. I've had to go on. The first place I go every Friday is to the Rose of Sharon Soup Kitchen, where my ex-fiance, is the director. And we go in there and take 40 or 50 cases of chips. Because God's dealing with my pride that I used to have. And if you'll allow him, he'll deal with your pride. But you got to do what he says. And you got to be willing to do it. And just put something, some kind of music on of some kind. It doesn't really. And I know I've rambled a little bit.
for joining us today at Summer Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time.